We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And just like that, in a blink of an eye, it was Oklahoma week. Welcome into the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, everybody. We thank you for spending, whether it's your evening, your afternoon, your morning with us, however you listen to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, we are most appreciative. Dan Zangrilli in the air chair on the heels of just an incredible, incredible weekend at Mountaineer Field, and really in and around the greater Morgantown area, not just for football in the top 15 victory that we were able to secure over the Hokies of Virginia Tech, but soccer and women's soccer, volleyball had a good showing in the Mountaineer Invitational. Just a lot going right now for WVU. And looking forward to this first true Big 12 game road test to Palace on the Prairie, where, you know, we put a lot of good things on film here against Virginia Tech, and I'm looking forward to seeing how much of those are going to hold serve as we take on a top five team, a team that, as it's been well documented, since joining the Big 12, has had the better of us every single time that we've taken on the Oklahoma Sooners. So here's hoping that we can channel our inner 1982 to get this victory against Oklahoma. And I was mentioning to a Oklahoma radio host, I did a hit down with a radio station in Tulsa earlier this week that, you know, as we tried to go through this thing chapter and verse to see who had the advantage, and clearly, listen, on paper, I don't think anybody's going to fool anyone. You know, Oklahoma has the advantage, as some have picked them to be the 2021 national champions. They are a top five team, as they have habitually been since West Virginia has played them. I did, however, say that, like, you know, kind of throw that out the window, because we're talking about Neil Brown here, and it would be very on brand for Neil Brown to go in on ABC primetime on a Saturday evening with the entire country watching to pull this thing off. Now, should that be the expectation? I think we should temper that. Is it certainly possible? Absolutely. Is it probable? I don't know. If we continue to make strides, and if we continue to run the football with the effectiveness that we did against Virginia Tech, I would say certainly anything is possible. If we continue to catch the ball with great consistency as we did against the Virginia Tech Hokies, I would say that anything's possible. If Akeem Mezidor, right there in the middle of that defensive front, continues to push the pocket and be a big-time disruptor to allow some improving and emerging stars on the defensive side of the ball, say, you know, a Jared Bartlett or maybe that motor of Dante Steeles gets revved up into the backfield, could we be a disruptor? Is Jackie Matthews a guy that is, you know, on the rise here? Now that he has maybe a little bit of swagger to his game after a fourth down and goal to go, game-winning textbook play defensively to secure a victory. So all of those little things, over the course of a week, I hope Neil, and I'm sure Neil, is banging the drum on to properly power position us to take on these Oklahoma Sooners. So what will it take? What's the side of the Sooners? What are they thinking as we march into town with the full head of steam? And hey, if you look at the Oklahoma schedule here, you know, they had a really, really tough game against Nebraska. Really tough. West Virginia is coming off the incredible victory here against the Hokies, obviously. But you know, you've got a game against Kansas State, if you're OU, team that's knocked your block off a couple of times in Manhattan. You think that they may be thinking about that instead of West Virginia? Could this, I guess what I'm getting at is, could this be the ultimate trap game for OU? Could West Virginia come in and put one on their chin? I don't know. There's a number of factors at play here, but from the OU perspective, we're going to get a breakdown of what Gabe Eichard thinks of West Virginia. He really does a great job covering the Big 12 Conference. However, he does have the OU bias, despite him being a host on Sirius XM and the Big 12 channel 375 every weekday afternoon. He's a sideline analyst on the Sooners radio network, but Gabe does a really good job. He's got his finger on the pulse. He's going to really get down deep into it, not only from what he sees from WVU on the outside, but he clearly knows the Sooners very, very well. They're 3-0, but is it a good 3-0? I mean, they survived the scare against Tulane. Yeah, they do what they should have done against Western Carolina, but boy, that was a dogfight for three quarters against Nebraska. So what is the consensus with the Sooners? We're going to discuss that with Gabe Eichard right now here on the Mountaineer Insider. Well, thanks for joining us, Gabe. Really appreciate you making some time and what's going to be a big night in Norman. Oh, by the way, a night game, I guess, at long last, West Virginia is going to play under the lights in the Palace on the Prairie. How thrilled are OU fans to finally get one, right? Because I know that it was a thing, all of these noon, 11 a.m. kickoffs for OU football. How juiced up are you to play one under the lights?
Yeah, always better to play it in prime time, right? Prime time ABC, Fowler, Herb Street, Holly Rowe on the call. These are the type of games you love covering, you know, as part of the radio team. But also, you know, going back to my playing days, these are the type of games you want to play in, where you're on national television and there's going to be millions and millions of people watching. But really, Dan, I'm just glad that we're getting to see these two teams play.
How about
it? We got teased a couple times last year, and it just never happened.
Well, Gabe, when you and I spoke last year, you always had, and you always have, kind of had a thing for West Virginia, right? You're always looking at them with one eyebrow up here, not only from your Sirius XM radio show, which is more of, you know, a 60,000-foot view on the conference, but obviously you have the you know, the OU perspective as well. Why are you always looking at West Virginia with that one eyebrow up as a team that can sneak up on the six-time Big 12 conference champions?
It's got everything to do with Neil Brown. I am a big believer in Neil Brown, how he builds a program and just how he operates on a day-to-day basis. as a head football coach. I think he does it the right way, and I think he does it with the right mentality, and that is attention to detail and toughness. And I know the loss to Maryland to start the year was disappointing for a lot of West Virginia fans, but I've watched the game a couple of times now, and I do not think that game was a great representation of West Virginia's football team this season. I think they're a dangerous team, not only for Oklahoma to play, but for anyone in the conference to play. I think they're improved along the offensive line. They're still not where I'm sure Neil wants them to be along the offensive line, but they're better than they have been, certainly the best they've been in his 3 years. And when you get good offensive line play, that allows those skill guys, and West Virginia's got skill guys, man. I mean, Letty Brown is one of the most dynamic players in the entire conference. Winston Wright's got speed. Bryce Ford Wheaton's got size and speed. Sam James, when he can catch the football, right, he's a dangerous player. So you look at them offensively, I think they're much improved. They just got to find more consistent play from the quarterback position. And that's kind of been the story of Jared Daigie and his career there in Morgantown. He hasn't been able to find that level of consistency that West Virginia needs. Defensively, man, their system is, it's interesting. I mean, it's a very interesting way to play the 3-3-5. And I think I was so surprised they gave up so many big plays against Maryland, just some busts in the back end, some poor tackling. They showed a much more disciplined approach against Virginia Tech last week. And I think that they've committed to playing very physical up front with those three down linemen, moving around that rover position with Cowan. I think it's a very interesting defense to watch, and certainly they've got speed, a little undersized linebacker, a little undersized in the secondary, but guys that play with speed. And now, to me, as I've watched them progress through their first three games, it looks like guys are starting to understand the system a little better, especially in the back end, more disciplined in their coverages, playing a lot of cover six back there and keeping things in front of them. Really, they give up one big pass play against Virginia Tech, and it was a nice play in the end zone for a touchdown by Virginia Tech's receivers. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from West Virginia. If they can get Daigie to play at a higher level more consistently, man, they're a dangerous football team.
Yeah. Hey, Gabe, let's talk about the Mountaineer defense, as you were talking about. Number one in red zone defense, number 22 in sacks, number four in the country in tackles for loss. Now, let's take that against this Oklahoma offense, who is generating about 500 yards per game offensively. Big backs are running. Your two backs are averaging about six yards a carry. We know about the big offensive line, the receivers, the talent. What does this defense present a problem for Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma offense?
You saw it against Nebraska a little bit. We're so used to seeing Lincoln Riley's offense have big, explosive chunk plays in the passing game, and they just didn't have those against Nebraska. And, I mean, the longest passing play they had was a play where they hand the ball off to Mario Williams. He throws it back to Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler throws it to Marvin Mims, and it was a gain of, 23 yards. I mean, that was their biggest play in the passing game in that entire game. And as I watch West Virginia, they are going to, for the most part, right? Now, you can always scheme some things. And I know some people have a tough time understanding that zone coverage in the back end eventually turns into man coverage. That's how it works. But they're playing a lot of deep zone, right? Cover six, which a lot of people call quarter half. They're playing some four. They're not playing many single high safety looks which is where you really feel like you can push the ball down the field in the passing game. So for Oklahoma, if West Virginia is going to play that way, and I think that you have to anticipate that that's the way they're going to play defensively, you're going to have to control the line of scrimmage against those defensive linemen for West Virginia. And Dante Stills is a very physical player. Akeem Mesidor is a very physical player. Vondarius Count, they're using him in a multitude of ways. It's Jared Bartlett, right? Huge game against Virginia Tech, coming off the edge in that rover position. Like, they've got talent. And while they don't have anybody that's, you know, 315 pounds, all those guys across the board are 280, 285, strong with long arms. I mean, they're not, it's not like they're easy to block. But if West Virginia is going to play coverage that way, you have to run the football. I mean, they're daring you to run the football if they're going to be that conservative in the back end. So it comes down to Oklahoma being patient enough, right? Is Lincoln Riley patient enough to just run the football 6 yards at a time down the field and then execute in the red zone, right? Is he patient enough to do that? Is Spencer Rattler patient enough to take all the underneath stuff, right, to throw the ball out in the flat, right, and make West Virginia's defensive back make tackles in space, right? We saw Maryland have some success doing those things. So I think that's the biggest challenge for Oklahoma's offense is you're coming off a game where you didn't have many explosive plays at all, especially in the passing game, and now you're playing against a defense that clearly wants to completely eliminate those as well. Are you patient enough to take what the defense gives you and not put the ball in bad situations and throw it into coverage?
Yeah, let's flip that around now. And you already talked about the offense of West Virginia, but how do you think this Oklahoma defense, it's only given up a total of 319 yards per game, which is very solid. How do you think they are going to defend the West Virginia offense, and where do they need to succeed the most?
Yeah, I'm not concerned, but with Jarrett Deggie's lack of mobility, and it's not like he's a terrible athlete or anything like that, but I think we'd all agree he's the guy that is most comfortable playing from the pocket. I think West Virginia, they got to move the launch point a bit, because if they, and what I mean by that is play action, whatever, they're half rolling him out, but if he is just going to catch the ball in the shotgun and take a three-step or five-step drop and step up, like, OU's defensive line is creating absolute havoc at the line of scrimmage. And they got talented guys, man. They got talented guys that have power and speed. Perrion Winfrey and Isaiah Thomas and Jalen Redmond and Nick Benito coming off the edge. Like, they have really, really good players along the defensive line. That is going to be West Virginia's biggest challenge, is winning enough of the battles up front. I think that they're going to have to do some things. And I think Nebraska had some success. They had some schemes where they decided, okay, hey, we're going to block down, we're going to pull a guy out on the edge, kick out the in-man on the line of scrimmage, and kind of run through the alley. They had some success in those run concepts. So I think West Virginia's got, they have to attack the edges of Oklahoma's defense in the run game, because I do not think they will have much success there in between the tackles and the teeth of that Oklahoma defense. We just haven't seen teams, whether it's Tulane or Nebraska, have any success at all running in between the tackles. It has, where the success in the running game against Oklahoma has come is out on the edges, pin pull schemes, out on the edges, outside zone, those types of things. So I think Beal's going to see that and probably try to specialize that in that with Letty Brown. And then I think that as you evaluate the weakness of Oklahoma's defense right now, there seems to be a bit of a void in their zone coverage in the middle of the field. And it has a lot to do with maybe some linebackers not understanding exactly where they should be in their zone drops. You've got some talented but inexperienced guys out there at times. So I think West Virginia will attack the middle of the field in the passing game. And Daigie's going to have to be good. And he's going to have to be good under pressure because he's going to be under pressure. I mean, he is going to have to make what I call big boy throws. And that is, you got to deliver it accurately when you're about to get hit right in the chops. Because Oklahoma's defensive line is going to come after him. So it's going to be a really tough test for West Virginia's offense. I think Oklahoma's defense is kind of hitting their stride, even though they're down a couple starters in the back end. But OU has shown the ability to give up a few of the big plays this season, especially at the corner position. While we have seen some spectacular plays and some real flashes from OU at corner, like they are not playing with the level of consistency that Alex Grinch is looking for at the corner position right now. And I think Neil will see that as well. And I think you're going to see, you know, Winston Wright and Bryce Ford Wheaton and Sam James at some point just say, hey, run in a straight line as fast as you can. Let's throw it. Let's see what happens. So West Virginia is going to need to have some big explosive plays in the passing game.
Yeah.
In this game, though.
Yeah, and I think that maybe they put that on film against Virginia Tech. We shall see. But a terrific breakdown here, Gabe. What it sounds like you're describing essentially is a playoff team. Is that the consensus and the belief in Norman that this is a year that OU gets back to the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, for me, and you have to look at it in the scope of college football right now.
Right, true.
OU is a college football playoff caliber team right now. But I think anyone that's realistic about what we've seen from Oklahoma in the first three games, while they are playoff caliber, they are quite a bit of ways off from being national championship caliber. And that is disappointing for a lot of people around here because coming into the year, we all saw it, right? Preseason number one, some places. Preseason number two. A lot of people that cover college football for a living picking them to win the national championship. And it just hasn't looked like that level of a team yet. Now, you can always get better during the season. There's no doubt about that. But Oklahoma's got a long way to go, especially offensively, which is probably very surprising to a lot of people. I think a lot of that stems from, you know, average play along the offensive line. So I think they're playoff caliber because if, you know, you lose one game and win the Big 12, you're most likely going to the college football playoff, right? And I don't think there's any doubt that Oklahoma can have that type of season. But when you watch Bama or Georgia this season, the way that those teams look along the line of scrimmage, the way that those teams look at the skill positions, like the talent that those types of teams have, I don't think at this point in time with what I've seen from Oklahoma that Oklahoma could beat those teams.
Well, Gabe, thank you much. Appreciate the insights and the comprehensive breakdown. Gabe Eichard, part of a big crew on that Oklahoma Sooners radio network. Well, we'll get it all rolling at 4 p.m. on MSN Radio. 7:30 is the kickoff. Wolfley, Drenning will join me for the Gomart Mountaineer Tailgate Show. Caridi and Wallace will call it. And we can't wait to bring you the sounds, describe all of the sights, and what we hope to be a really special evening of Mountaineer football. You know, it was a shame that this game, and I remember Neil I believe it was his press conference the week after COVID wiped out the Oklahoma game last year here in Morgantown. There really seemed to be, and many of you may remember this as well, and you can recall the disappointment in Neal's voice, because they believed that they had the Sooners in a position, or they were well prepared to take on OU here in Morgantown. And the feeling that I got, and it was a deflating feeling, that, boy, the opportunity, they were really relishing that in 2020 to get a crack here at these Sooners. And there seemed to be a big-time internal belief that something special could have potentially happened. Now, we'll never know, obviously, because that game was not played. Do those feelings carry over here into 21? Does Neal feel as if he's found something? Again, as I mentioned earlier in the open, it would be very on brand for Neal Brown to add another one of these to the ledger. LSU, Lincoln, Nebraska, Cornhuskers, and why not the Sooners? Well, enjoy the week, everybody, and enjoy the game on Saturday. We'll be with you pre and post on MSN Radio, and of course, continuing coverage at WVUSports.com. If you like the podcast, and let us know what you think we could do better. There's plenty of ways to reach us, by the way, before we close. WVUMSN@gmail.com. You can just text us as well. 304-314-4161. 304-314-4161. If you like the podcast, please, 5 stars, comments. That always helps with the metrics to get us up as we continue to climb up the platform at WVU Sports on our digital audio platforms. But this is your podcast. We want to hear from you. Feedback is really, really important. So more of this, a little less of that. All of your suggestions are welcome. Until then, hail West Virginia. Let's go, Mountaineers. I'm Dan Zang, really here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.